Moto America fans, it's time for another episode of Off Track with Carruthers and Bice. You'll laugh, you'll cry, and you may even learn something from this unlikely pair and their special guest. The mic is yours, Paul and Sean.
Hello, Moto America fans. Welcome to this latest edition of Off Track with Carruthers and Bice. I am Bice, joined by our communications manager for Moto America, Paul Carruthers, to my right. And we are at the Circuit of the Americas, and it is hotter than hell. But and luckily, I've never been to hell, so I don't really know. But it's like in the hundreds anyway.
He's been told to go to hell, though.
And talk about heat. The heat is on right now because we have three riders from the Mission King of the Baggers Championship. They all ride Harley Davidsons. One of them's a factory rider, and the other two are factory supported. We've got James Rispoli, we've got Kyle Wyman, the factory rider, and we've got Hayden Gillum. And I don't know. This is going to be interesting. We've never had three guys on at the same time. What do you think, Paul? How are we going to do this? Ask like Kyle Wyman. I would like to ask you a question.
I think that's probably the only way you can do it. Yeah, but it's funny. Well, did you say that they're only 3 points apart?
Oh, tell us the scenario.
Well, they're 3 points apart. He, Hayden Gillum, in case you can't see me pointing.
He's
leading, and these two are tied for second, and they're only 3 points behind.
It's
3 points.
Huge.
Three guys, 3 points.
Yeah. And there are two rounds left, but we've never been to Circuit of the Americas before. This is a first time. Kyle's been on this track. Hayden's...
James has been on it on the bagger.
Yeah. Oh, testing.
You haven't been here at all.
No, I've been raced here.
Yeah.
No, but why didn't you come and test with him?
We were testing Road America for the Dunlop test before the race. Yeah.
Okay, so you guys tested this year then.
Yeah, well, that guy gets plenty of laps during the weekend. We don't need him any more laps.
Well, listen, James, I want to start with you because I was going to say I knew for a fact you've never raced on this track, but you've been on this track fairly recently.
Yeah, this year we tested when Harley Davidson came here and tested. We were thankfully enough allowed to come with them. But I'd tell you right now, if we weren't, we would be in really bad shape. This place is really tough.
Tough because of turn one? Because
it's so long.
No, it's just technical. The whole the first half of the track and the back half are both super technical in their own regards. You know, the first half is just flowy, and if you miss one mark, you could be 6-7 tenths off, especially on a bagger, and if you screw it up. And in the back half, it's really, really tough because it's way tighter than I thought. When you see it on like MotoGP and stuff like that, it doesn't look as tight, but you get out on a bagger, it's the only thing I've rode, and it's like, I'm like, there's a reason why people aren't like dive bombing up in some of these corners, because you just can't make it. Like, you just physically can't turn around the corner tight enough. So it's going to be a really interesting race. And it's, again, yeah, like, if we didn't test here, we would be in really bad shape.
Well, so let me ask you this, Kyle. I am intimidated just by turn one because of the idea that you go up that hill. It helps you slow down a little bit, maybe. But you almost turn back on yourself. Can you turn a bagger to go into turn one?
No, they just rode straight into town.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. I mean, how do you get it back around?
Turn one's the best corner for the bagger because it's uphill and gravity helps you slow the thing.
Okay.
So honestly, it's one of the better corners. The tight ones are definitely a little bit tough for the baggers, but yeah, I mean, that turn one's not bad. Turn 12 is all downhill braking, so you got to really make sure you hit your mark there. But no, it's a tricky track, like especially with gearing, especially because there's so many different sizes of corners that it's totally a compromise kind of no matter what. So that was kind of the aim for our test, was a lot of gearing work. But yeah, at least we've had our days here earlier this year. That was the one track we chose to test, the one Moto America track that we're allowed to choose. So we chose this one because baggers have never been here. So yeah, and James came along and we had a good couple days.
All right, two questions for Hayden. The fact that you didn't come here and test, Are your bikes close enough that you can just start at least with what James, I mean, gearing, can you, or even, I guess you could with gearing.
Yeah, like gearing will go off of what they tested with. And, but I mean, really other than that, it's going to be quite a bit different from whenever they tested here. Cause it was quite a bit cooler. Like it's hot. It's going to be super greasy and everything. The bikes are going to work a lot different than what they did, I'm assuming, at their test, but I don't know. They're baggers too. So they might, there's such a broad window of how these bikes work in, at least for me. Like I can do big suspension changes and can do the same lap time. It just is the way I get the lap time is different. So like, I don't know. I'll the gearing's the biggest one. The rest of it, I mean, by the time I get on the bagger, I'll have already been on the track twice. So I'll be ready to go. I'll be warmed up and everything. But
your leathers won't even fit anymore. You'll be so skinny.
I need it.
So you're 3 points ahead, but with 5 points between first and second, you might as well all be tied, right?
Because three points is the difference between second and third. Like,
right.
And we're hoping that none of us are fighting for second and third. We're hoping we're all fighting for the win. So
right. And I think that's what people also understand is it's not just you three guys, because there's fast guys, Bobby Fong, for example, that could win at any time or get in the mix. And obviously Tyler O'Hara. And so it's not just between you three guys. There's other guys that can make a huge difference in actually the outcome of the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've got four races left. And if Kyle goes on a run like he's been able to do, that's going to be obviously put a damper on it. But I don't know. The Vance and Hines bikes are working pretty good. I'm hoping we can put a good fight up.
Now, with the way this track is, it's fast. It's a long lap. Does engine management come into it? Like, do you think like, oh shit, you know, I need to like maybe not give it full stick here or whatever, or you just do it and hope for the best?
I'm always full stick.
I mean, I think anytime we're on the track, it's going to be wide open. I don't think you're going to be managing really anything, but it is hot. You know, they are air cooled, but you know, the factory as well as the Vance and Hines boys have done everything possible they can to make them last, you know, as much as we can. And, you know, who knows, there might be some strategy involved in there, but I don't really see in our class, we don't really have gaps to be able to roll out and roll off. You know, like if you're not moving forward, someone's catching you, especially in the top four.
And there's obviously no team orders per se. I mean, even with you, I mean, these two guys aren't going to gang up on you or anything like that.
Oh yeah, we are. He's got a different color bike than us.
If you think about it, I don't know what anybody's contract situations are like, but you guys probably have more to gain by beating each other than he does, if that makes sense.
I mean, at the end of the day, I think, you know, everybody wants the number one, and it's a rider market. If you got the number one, you can kind of dictate a little bit more. And I mean, I'm sure Kyle's more secure than the rest of the grid, just having the number one before and doing what he's done with Harley Davidson. So I'm sure me and Hayden have a little bit more to gain for getting the number one plate. But at the end of the day, man, you can think about that, but we still have four races. We've got two really good ones this weekend, and I mean, a lot can happen. You know, Bobby's 40-something points back, but if he wins the next four, like, it gets dangerous.
Right.
Like, it doesn't matter if you finish second. It's still dangerous, you know? Like,
Kyle, so how much do you talk to these guys, and how much do they talk to you?
As far as
after a session, I mean, what I'm getting at is the fact that you're the factory rider, but it seems like it's pretty seamless in terms of what Vance and Hines gets parts wise from Harley. It's a very close knit organization, and there's not a huge difference that much, but you're the factory guy. So do you guys think as a team, or do you guys think as competitors?
No, I mean, like, we've never shared data between like the factory team and the Vance and Hines team, but obviously the bikes are very similar because, you know, this year especially, they've gone to a numerous amount of parts that we run, you know, between the front end, back end, swing arm, all that stuff. So I think that's you know, their success this year is a testament to, you know, Harley Davidson being supportive and, you know, making those parts available for other teams. And obviously Vance and Hines knows how to build an engine. So I don't think there's really been any sharing or support on the engine side. Vance and Hines already knows what they're doing in that department. So yeah, they've gotten pretty damn close, if not level terms with us as far as that goes. And, you know, it's going to make good racing, because I think the bikes are pretty close at this point. But yeah, kind of at this point, obviously Harley wants the factory bike to win the championship. So, you know, I think everybody's kind of head down at the moment.
Right. So I'm going to ask all three of you guys this, and this may be something you can't share, I don't know, but I'm just going to go for it and ask. As I understand it, you're the Harley Davidson factory, HD Screaming Eagle team. You change the engine after every session?
No.
You don't?
change the engine?
Take the engine out. No. I've heard this.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. So you don't put a fresh engine in for every session?
No, there are times we put a fresh engine in Saturday night for Sunday.
Okay.
But for the most part, we don't, we don't have too many issues.
It's a big process.
Right?
Big job.
Like it takes, like there's not enough time between sessions to be able to do it.
I think there's six bikes that do it Saturday to Sunday.
Yeah.
I mean, Indians included.
Yeah. Okay.
There's a lot of bikes from Saturday to Sunday, and I don't think it's, I mean, I can't speak for Vance and Hines, but it's not anything because we have to. It's just because we've been in the championship hump since race one, and, you know, Terry Vance and the Vance and Hines want to give us every opportunity that we can to continue with trying to be in the championship hunt, and it's just a due diligence thing.
Okay.
Yeah, we've run, like, you know, we'll do three test days on one engine, which is like 2.5 race weekends worth of mileage and not have failures, but it's more of just a, you know,
precautionary.
It's race situation, and, you know, you just have to kind of protect everything you possibly can. So yeah, we have the means to put another engine in it for Sunday, we do so.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's a big process. Like, I know the Vance and Hines guys are at the track till like 12:30 Saturday nights changing engines. It's a big process.
Right.
And they're, I mean, the engines themselves are like 170 pounds. Like and then there's so many, it's not like a regular sport bike engine. Like there's cases inside of cases inside of cases, and there's so much stuff going on inside of them.
Yeah.
It's crazy watching.
Yeah. If you did something early in the day, session one, you're probably not making it for session two.
Yeah.
Like you could, they could do it, but it's to do it right. Make sure everything's good. Gucci.
I think we've seen that before too, where guys don't make.
It's a thrash. And I mean, they do it pretty. The other thing is what's tough is, you know, we race late. So yeah. They don't get started till late. So it's like a big ordeal. So we just try not to. A zero now would be, you know,
bad.
Devastating.
Yeah.
Do you guys still notice, and does it surprise you that there's still, like, it always surprises me that there's still negativity from some people about the class when it's like, it's
what's
proven
in those bags?
How often do you get sick of answering that question, right? But it's just funny because it's proven to be so successful and it's grown every year, and yet there's still people that just like get rid of it, and it's not like we make them watch it. I mean, they're here. It's not like there's not super bikes because of this. It all works, right? Do you find that surprising?
Well, I mean, you just kind of have to have the right mentality around that, because, you know, some of the most popular things in the world are some of the most polarizing things in the world.
Right.
And when you have people talking about things, you know, you get the 5-star reviews and the 1-star reviews. You know, we don't want any 3-star reviews. We want 5s and 1s, because that's what's going to just drive this thing into the place it's been and the place we think it's going to go. So yeah, I kind of let it roll off my back at this point.
All right. So I got one for all three of you guys. I'll start in order. So we'll start with James. Tell us about the King of the Bagger Challenge. Do you like it? And if you do, tell us why. If you don't, tell us why you don't.
Well, I hate it because I finish second all the time. I haven't got a dime. Like,
yeah, but you finish second all the time in the other ones,
it
too.
It sucks. I know. We got to start winning something.
So it is one of those deals that if you don't win it, it's why
nothing.
Did I even do it?
Somewhat. I mean, it's tough. It's not tough like physically, but it's just like strategy wise, you know, you do qualifying, you go right into it, and sometimes it can help you, and sometimes it's not. You know, I think it's cool. I do like having that extra little race, because I think like right now we go out in the morning and we go out at night, so it's nice to have like a little bit of something to race. It gets pretty boring.
Yeah.
The rest of it, but other than that, I think it's cool. I think I like I just like racing. So
yeah.
If we're bar banging for money or bar banging for points, like, I want to race.
Yeah.
I want to race these guys hard, and I just want it to be close and fun. And afterwards, you know, high five and whatever, like we were riding hundreds. Yeah, there's a little bit of money on the line, but maybe if they could spread it to second and third, it would be great.
Kyle, yay or nay on the challenge?
It's flip a coin, right? It can be the best thing, especially if you win. It can be an opportunity to try a change that you wouldn't normally throw at the bike for a points paying race, which we've done a number of times where it's like, yeah, that was the wrong way, but it was just a challenge, you know? So, it can be, you know, an opportunity to show your cards before the race, which can be a positive or a negative. You know, if I've won a challenge by, you know, building a gap you know, straight away, then that's probably a good thing because it shows what I can do. And that's kind of what I've always tried to do with the challenge. But they're kind of stressful at the same time because you just, you kind of don't know who's going to just show up with the red mist either and really want to go for it. But it's definitely, you know, going back to the kind of engine changes or, you know, fixing crash bike, you know, you don't want to put your team on the back foot over, you know, a big check, you know, because usually we've got our points paying race about 4 hours after that. So, you know, you trash a bike, you're going to put those guys on the back foot.
Hayden.
I mean, it's laps. I like laps. I like to use it. Like the first couple laps for me this year, I've struggled with getting going and, you know, coming off of stock or coming off a super bike. Like it takes me a few laps to get it back. And so like, I like it just cause I can kind of practice that, but also, you know, I'm kind of on the side with James too. I haven't won one yet, so yeah, it's kind of a waste of time, but, I don't know. It's cool. I like it. And you know, it kind of gives a little preview of what the race could be later in the day too. And like Kyle said, you can try stuff, you know, whatever. It's, I don't know. It's more laps. It's a race. It's fun. And, I don't know. Like for me, I've got to just practice passing most of the time in them. Cause up until now, I feel like my starts have been pretty subpar. So it's, let me practice the first couple laps of passing. But yeah, I mean, it's fun. I enjoy it. And it's, you know, it's cool to, you know, you're racing for a big prize. No points or anything. You just let it hang out and just go have fun with the boys.
Mm-hmm.
And girls.
Yeah, true.
And girls.
So this is for you, Hayden. So your teammate, well, we'll talk about you. But I was going to mention Jake Lewis is going to be in 6 races this weekend. You're going to be in 4 in this heat.
Are 6. You?
Or yes, 6. That's yeah. Right. Yes. So yeah, I can talk to you about this. I'm sorry. Yeah. It took me a second. The heat's gotten to my brain too. All right. So you're going to be doing 6 races. It was Jake that was almost going to do 8. Well, he was never going to do 8, but there was a possibility he was going to race in stock 1000 at one point, but I guess they decided not to do that. So
yeah.
Yeah. So what's your situation, this approach to the weekend regarding the heat? Are you going to do the jumping in a pool thing? How do you deal with all this? And changing leathers, by the way, in
yeah.
between.
We don't have time between to jump in pools or anything, which I've never been. I've never been a I don't know, like whenever I'm
pool guy.
I don't like water.
That's a cat, dude.
I don't know. I just, it's like it's hot, yeah, but it's not like it's something crazy. Like we've dealt with it before, so I mean, like we know what we need to do to combat it. But like whenever I'm at home, you know, I'm outside in it all the time in my jeans and my boots, and like I wear a lot of denim.
So. Right, and it gets warm. He's wearing
jeans, dude. I wore jeans all day today. And
I wanted to put my denim shirt on too.
I love it,
but like it's—I don't know. Like the heat's never really bothered me much. I enjoy it. Like I'd rather it be hot because whenever it's cool, like the track's better, the tires work better, like everything's better, and you know everybody can ride harder. Whenever it's hot like this, like it's gonna be greasy. And some people struggle with it. Some people like it. I like it. It's, I don't know, like it's kind of like the rain a little bit, not so much, but like, it's a little bit more of
a little more dirt track
leveling factor. Yeah.
And finesse.
And so like people, it's easier to make mistakes whenever it's greasy, it's hot out there. So I prefer it hot. Like I want it to be hot. The hotter, the better, you know, people get tired and everything. And
yeah.
For some reason I've never had a big problem with it, so I like it. Let's bring it.
Okay, so Medallia Superbike, Steel Commander Stock 1000, Mission King of the Baggers. Of the three of those, are you feeling a certain way? Are you putting an emphasis on any of the three? Do you approach them all the same way? Are they all three equally important to you? Which one is the most fun? Tell me if you could.
They're all equally important to me. Like Superbike, I grew up watching Superbike racing. Like yes. I didn't grow up watching bagger racing, so. Like the super bikes, like that's for me, that's top priority because I've always wanted to be a super bike racer. And you know, my bike isn't the best on the grid. So I want to, if I can be up there with some of the front guys, that's what I want to do. But I'm in the hunt for the championship in Mission King of Baggers. 8 points back going into this weekend for Stock Thousand, and this is the last two races of the weekend,
yes,
or of the year. So Stock is a big one, because I just want to win the championship. I feel like we had a couple things go wrong last year and I didn't get it, and this year I felt like it was more mine than last year, and then we had some issues at the beginning of the year, and so now I'm back into it, and I was kind of ready to call it quits before Brainerd, and so I don't know. I put an emphasis on all of them. Like they're all equally important to me. Superbike, obviously, I'm not going for a title or anything. So if the last couple laps of the race I'm by myself, I'm gonna chill out, mm-hmm. and save a little bit for the bagger stuff. And luckily, the bagger races aren't like, they're not super taxing. Like the bikes, you can't really override the bikes, so you can't really, like, at least for me, I feel like I can't wear myself out riding one, because if you can over push them pretty easy and tuck the front or do whatever, and it's going to cost you. And so, like, luckily the baggers aren't super taxing. I feel like the superbike's by far the most taxing of all of them. And then Stock, it's a shorter race, but it's still not too bad. So really, like, the superbike, if I'm by myself, I'm a little bit more happy, because I don't have to push those last couple laps. But if I'm in a battle, I don't like giving up. So I'm going to keep going, and I'll wear myself out if I have to, but it's, I don't know. It's, I enjoy it. Like I love doing all the classes. The more classes I can do, the better. I don't know. On Sunday, the last bagger race, I'll feel the best I have all weekend on the bike. So it's, I don't know. It's weird. Once I'm so wore out, it's like, I can't get any worse. So I start riding good. I don't know. It's weird.
That's funny. James, when you're riding these things, is it mainly thinking about the front? That, like, where things can go wrong. I mean, we've seen Jeremy McWilliams' big slide, but that's...
Yeah, I mean, luckily the Harley's been pretty... They've done such a good job, and, you know, it's a testament, Kyle and Harley. The bikes, I think our chassis in the Harley is really, really good. It's... We say it all the time, man, and, I mean, until Kyle high-sided on one at Brainerd last year, it was pretty, like, I would say pretty impossible to high-side them. Like, if you had any dirt track skills, like... Dude, it's just like so hard, because they float so long. It's pretty hard to get them to like a snap. I've never had one snap on me really ever.
Daytona.
Yeah.
Oh,
Daytona.
That was wild. Yeah. That was crazy.
Oh, we want to thank you for that too.
Yeah, it does well really every time. Yeah, yeah. Every time we run it.
It'll be like Kyle's bike catching on fire. We'll run it for the next 20 years.
Yeah, just keep
tagging me.
Yeah.
But other than that, I think like the front, as well as it's been really good. I think Brainerd was probably the first time it got greasy for me, where I actually was folding the front on my knee, and I was like, whoa, okay, like we can actually tuck this thing pretty good. I only crashed a jersey on it behind Fonger when this thing was blowing water or whatever out. But other than that, I mean, they're pretty good. So I don't really worry too much about it. Like, I think Hayden said it's going to be greasy here. We can all attest that's probably going to be moving around a bit, but the dirt track background, we all have dirt track backgrounds, so we all can let the bike move around and do its thing. So I think it's going to be one of those where if you're out front and kind of get gone, it's going to be tough to close a gap. And it also is if you start slowing down, a lot of people are going to start catching you quick.
Kyle, speaking of the bike catching on fire, I wasn't going to go back that far, but that was Superbike. And thank you for having that.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it's been great. Every time we run it, I mean, it's fantastic for us. But let's talk about Superbike. Let's talk about the Ducati later on, you having your own program. Yeah. It was a lot, but do you miss any aspects of that? Do you miss being in Superbike?
No, I definitely miss racing Superbike. It's particularly tough on weekends when we don't have baggers and I'm just at home watching Moto America Live Plus and like, yeah, I definitely wish I could get out there, but, you know, I'm really happy and in a very good place with this Harley Davidson program. And it's always been my goal to develop the Harley to the point where it can act like a superbike, because I know that that's where it'll be its fastest. And I know that, you know, that's where my experience in Superbike can pay off. So that's always been my goal, is to make this bike good enough to where, you know, it kind of satiates that you know, desire to ride something to that level, and we're getting there. But yeah, I mean, fortunately last year I did both for a couple rounds where I got those fill-in rides, and I thought at the end of 2021 when I stopped my own team that I was like, man, this could have been my last superbike race. And it was kind of a tough pill to swallow, but because like Hayden said, he grew up watching superbike. He wants to be a superbike racer. It's the same thing. That's all I chased for my whole career. And, but particularly that fill-in ride with Tytler's when we got on the podium at Atlanta,
yeah.
For me to miss one round, which was COTA last year, watch superbike from the fence and immediately second round, get a fill in and put it on the podium. It was like, it was kind of like a, it solidified my decision. It validated, you know, my decision to go to Baggers. It kind of gave me some closure, if you will, you know, even though that door might not be closed. I may end up back in superbike someday, but, it just gave me a lot of relief when I had that result and just kind of reinforced that I'm on the right path.
So I'm going to put you in a spot on this one too. Your teammate.
Oh, I was just going to bring that up.
Oh, you want to bring it up?
No, go ahead.
Your teammate's having a tough year and he's your brother. Can you, it doesn't seem like anything's different. I don't get it. Is it a luck thing? What's going on?
There's definitely been some luck, especially early in the year. You know, he was leading that, you know, I had an engine failure. He was leading, I guess, part of that race and also had an engine failure. And then he had another mechanical failure on the clutch side of things in race two. And he walked out of Daytona with 0 points and zero money, you know, just completely empty handed to start the year. And I think with him doing both programs and everything, it just kind of, you know, he kind of fell into a little bit of a rut and he's not really been able to pull himself out of it. He had pretty good run going at Laguna, good qualifying, got back in the challenge, and yeah, he's not found the feeling that he had. He's been struggling, and there's a lot of moving parts in racing in general, and you know, sometimes not everything's adding up, but you know, we've been working with him, doing what we can to get him that comfort again and that confidence that I know he has, and he's shown. I mean, he can win in this class. He can put it on pole in this class. We all believe that he can do it. I think he just needs to believe it himself.
Do you find that stressful? Like, I don't have a brother, but like my son, like if we play golf, especially when he was younger, I'd be like more worried about him having a good time and playing well than myself. You know what I mean? You're like, oh God, you just want the best for your kid. You got to have that feeling a little bit with your brother too, right? I mean, you got to be like, oh, how's Travis doing?
For sure. And you know, we work together as teammates, probably different than most teammates would, because we're brothers and we understand each other. And you know, I've done as much as I can to give him, you know, at least my path, and not to say that, you know, the way I do things works for anybody else, but you know, that I just, hey, this is what I'm doing on the bike, whether we're looking at data or just thinking about a certain part of the racetrack. And yeah, it can be a little bit stressful, but you know, I've always had to compartmentalize things, you know, in racing, whether I was running a team or doing whatever. And you know, I'm pretty good at, you know, focusing on the task at hand when I'm called upon it.
So James Rispoli, I think, well, we could say this of all three of you guys, and you mentioned it, James, that you guys are all have a dirt track background, and, you know, Hayden is recently, this year, I think you did some flat track earlier on.
Yeah,
in the season.
I was going to do a couple of the AFT races and a couple of them didn't work out. Like I had some other stuff that ended up coming up, but yeah.
He got kicked out for just roughing up some of the rookies.
Yeah, I was yeah, getting, like I was getting in trouble. Bunch of kids, yeah, man.
But so James, this question is pointed to you as far as AFT goes or flat track. Do you ever see yourself going back there and racing in that full time again, or do you think this is your home now? Where do you think your career is going to go?
I mean, obviously, I think with the Baggers doing so well in the Baggers, I would expect that. I hope that I would have a seat here in the Bagger Series, and that's my focus right now, is to win the championship and then try to fulfill that. Obviously, these guys have both spoke about it. Like, we grew up for Superbike, and that's something, it's never going to get like solidified, but you know, I did race in Superbike and BSB and accomplished a lot of goals that I wanted to do. So Yeah, it's a tough one. Both factories seem to be moving further away from dirt track at the moment. And, you know, there's only like KTM really in there, and there's a couple other privateer teams running some manufacturer support. So it's pretty tough to get on those seats. So, yeah, I think at the moment, like, it's full force to go in to Moto America and stay here. You know, I'm kind of somewhat sick of stacking 25 tariffs on and getting dirty and all my kit getting dirty and have to clean it. So I would say that I'm probably here, and you got me to stay for a while, as long as they'll have me. So, yeah, I mean, I love dirt track. It's in my blood. And if an opportunity came up, I would definitely go back, but, I would try to be more around the bigger tracks and the good facilities, you know, Red Mile and Springfield. Like, I love those tracks and I do really, really well there. And I would try to be like more of a mile guy.
Okay. All right. Well, we ran out of time, Paul. But it was a good episode. It's not easy to have three guys on. I think if we're going to have three guys on, these are the three guys to have on for sure. So big happenings this weekend at the Circuit of the Americas with Mission King of the Baggers, and wish you guys all luck, and Hayden, wish you well, and Medallia Superbike, as well as Steel Commander Stock 1000. I can't even keep it straight in my head, the fact you got so many you're going. But good Thanks. Luck to you on that, and you guys as well. And of course, you're going to take the fight to New Jersey for the next round in the final round of the season in Mission King of the Baggers as well. So
hope so.
Yeah, it'll be good to see. So thanks for being on with us.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys.